Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the 26th day of Shavat, Topshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Ksubas Perek Tes, Mishnah Vav. We continue the same topic about a woman whose husband had exempted her from giving a shvuah, having to take an oath when she gets a ksuba, even legabe the yorshim, even as far as the heirs are concerned. She says, no, you don't have to give any shvuah, he promises her, and not just to me, but even to those who succeed me, my heirs. Holchom mikever baila. What happens if the wife went from the burial of her husband, levesavia? She went straight to the house of her father, and she never continued anymore to be occupied or be involved with the assets of her husband. Or she went back to her father-in-law's house. And she did not become an administrator. Even after she came back, she did not become any, did have any role to play over the properties of the Yerusha. Then the heirs are not able to make her swear any shvuah at all. Not when she comes to collect her ksuba, because her husband had exempted her from that, and nor on any future, or nor on what she's been occupied when she was selling the assets in order to bury her, to pay for the burial of her husband. Why not? Because if we say that the yorshim, that the heirs, are able to make her swear that she didn't take anything for herself when she was selling the assets to bury her husband, then a woman will not be so rushing to bury her husband and to sell assets. She'll have to get edim, she'll have to seek witnesses to ensure that everything was done properly, and the witnesses to prove that she was doing the right thing. And if we require to do that, that could result in a delay of the burial of her husband. And that's the last thing we want to happen. We don't want the body to be lying there waiting to be buried because she has to find edim, or she's too scared because they're going to now require her to provide a shvuah. If, however, she became in charge, she became the guardian over the assets of her deceased husband, even after his burial, then hayorshin mashpinoisa al ha'asad lavoi. The heirs, the yorshim, are able to make her swear, as a suffix that is, over any business dealings that she does after the burial and onwards. Basically, the husband's condition that she doesn't have to give an oath will not help her in the case for any of the assets after the burial. And that's because these assets now belong to the yorshim, and the husband cannot free her from any responsibility of giving an oath, legabe the assets, once the assets belong to the yorshim. However, even then, ve'ein mashpinoisa al masha avar, the yorshim cannot make her swear for what she has over the actions or transactions that she's done on the past, and that's even through a gilgul shavuah, even through backing like a shvuah. Sometimes we make a woman, we can give a shvuah to be taken, even though on its own you couldn't do it, but because she has to swear anyway, then maybe they can add this one. And here she has to swear anyway. She has to swear for future transactions that an osid lavoi, that when she's in charge of the properties, that she's acting properly and she hasn't taken anything for herself there. So you might think, well, maybe we can make her swear for what she did before in the past. And the answer is no. They cannot make her swear on what any of the business deals that she has done in the past, because the husband has freed her from that shvuah, and nor can they make her swear for any of the transactions that she did between the death of her husband and the burial, for the reason we said before. A woman will be too scared to rush into transactions of burying the husband. Mishnah Zayin. Going to learn now about which cases does a woman have to give a shvuah before she can collect a ksuba. Hapagemes ksubasa, a woman who comes to collect a ksuba after she's already admitted that part of it's paid, So there's a ksuba. She says she's been paid half of it or part of it. And she comes now to collect the rest of it. The husband says, however, I paid you all. I paid you all of it. Lo sipora ela bishvua. She can only get paid the balance of the ksuba that she's demanding if she gives a shvua, if she gives an oath. Why is it? Why do we trust her giving an oath more than him? The reason is because one who pays his debts is usually careful to know exactly what he's giving. The one who receives it does not pay as much attention as the one who's paying it. And here, because she agrees that she's been paid part of the ksuba already, it's possible that maybe she actually got more than that, and she's not focusing on remembering that as carefully as the husband who paid it. And therefore the Chachamim said she has to give a shvua, has to give an oath, before she collects the rest of it, the balance. Eid echod me'ida shehi pruah. What happens if one eid testifies that she's been paid? A lady comes to collect a ksuba, and one witness there is testifying that she's already received a ksuba. Lo sipora ela bishvua. She can only get paid her ksuba if she gives an oath. Now, one aid, one witness, normally, min ha-Torah, can only make a person give a shvua when they have to exempt themselves from paying. That's normally the case. All shvuas of the Torah involve swearing and being exempt from paying. And the power of an aid is usually to do that. Here, however, the Chachamim said that she has to give a shvua even to take the money to get the ksuba. The Chachamim said she has to give an oath. Why is that? Because since the husband did not make any condition that she would be free from an oath, therefore the Chachamim made her give this shvua to pacify the husband. So because there is, after all, one aid that says she's been paid. So we don't believe the aid completely, but we say that it'll force her to give a shvua and then take the money. Minichse Yisamim, another example, another case where a woman will have to swear, give an oath before she gets a ksuba, is if she's collecting the ksuba from the orphans. That means that the husband's already died, now she wants to collect it from the estate. She has to swear to the Yisomim that she hasn't received the ksuba yet. Another example, another situation, uminachosim mushubotim, a woman who wants to collect a ksuba from properties that have been sold by the husband to other people. Let's say there's no freestanding property. There's nothing they can't find anything in the estate. And the only property available has been sold by the husband. Well, if she wants to go and collect the ksuba from those people that have bought from her husband, she has to give a shvua. And finally, the last case is the shaloi befanov. If she's collecting the ksuba and he's not around, she might be a case where he's gone overseas, he's gone far away, she comes to Beis Din to demand her ksuba. Again, lo sipora ela bishvua. She will also only get paid the ksuba if she gives an oath. And the reason is because we assume that had a husband been here now, he would have demanded, or he could have easily demanded, that she gives a shvua that she hasn't been paid yet. So therefore, and she would have been chayv to give a shvua. So therefore, in these cases, the Chachamim put on her the obligation of giving a shvua, of giving an oath, before she can collect her ksuba.